I take so much paper up here with me. But look at your bulletin insert, and you see on the back, I've got this little light of mine, and later on at some point we're gonna sing. You know, the old Sunday school songs, as I call them, the ones that we grew up singing as kids in Sunday school, there was a lot of good truth in some of those songs. And when it's appropriate, we're going to use them now and then. And gotta sort things out here. I apologize. That's for later on. Okay, this morning our text is from Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 25. And you know, last week, if you were here, I assigned a memory verse. And look at that memory verse, how it just feeds right into what we're looking at today. Does anybody remember what the memory verse was from last week? Psalm 119, 105. It's very familiar. And let's recite that first, and then I'll read our text. So if you stand, and let's recite Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. And now when you look at our text, I'm going to read it here, how well this fits into the thoughts that are in this text. So Mark 4, verses 21 through 25, and reading in Jesus' name once again. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed that ye hear with what measure ye meet. It shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear more shall be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. You may be seated, and may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. And you'll notice on this, I got a memory verse we're going to do next week too, the Proverbs this time, and at the end maybe we'll read it. And we read this text, and we notice that if we have light, it is of no use unless it is out. It shouldn't be, when you talk about putting it under a bushel, I imagine they mean a bushel basket or whatever. We don't want to hide our light. We need to prominently display it. We need to, if we have that light in our life, people should be able to see that light. And we should look at how we use the light we have been given. And, you know, God gives us gifts in order to illuminate the light we've been given. And he expects us to gratefully return those gifts to him as we minister to those around us and as we live out the gospel in our lives. And I believe that we are to sharpen the skills he has given us through, and we do that through practice, repetition, study, prayer. And we shouldn't allow the gifts that we've been given us, the light that's been given us, just to be dormant. And if it's dormant, our light is of very little use. So I'm going to read verse 21 once again. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? Now, when a light is set on a candlestick, I'm looking at that as a, you know, the holders for those candles are candlesticks. And we don't hide those behind the pulpit. That candle's out to be seen. If you turn the lights off, it was dark in here, those candles would shed more light than what we see, but they are there to be seen, and they are always there. I mean, they're not always lit, but they could be, and our light should be out and on display for others to see. So do we conceal our lights as under a bushel or under a bed? Do we hide the fact that we are God's children? Do we hide the fact that, as it says in Scripture, to be a peculiar people, and by peculiar I mean a person that is noticed because of the way they live, that is peculiar to the people who are living for worldly pleasures. And if we're concealing our light, it is of no benefit to anybody. And eventually, if a light is covered and covered in a tight space, eventually that light will go out. It'll be extinguished and smothered. And now I'm not discounting that we need some scientific knowledge, but this one person has written, sometimes a little scientific knowledge, and if we have some knowledge and we and that's all we have is scientific knowledge, if sometimes a little scientific knowledge creating conceit makes a bushel, men being so anxious to mix the earthly with the heavenly light that the sweet light of godly knowledge cannot get through the mistiness of the earthly mist. And sometimes we can get proud in our earthly knowledges, whether it's scientific or some of the earthly philosophies we see. And if we let that seep into our thinking and the way we live, the light cannot get through that. And it's an earthly mist that will hide it. And I'm not saying we shouldn't attain knowledge of things around us, but don't let that conceal the knowledge we have of the truth of the Scriptures. And sometimes what conceals our life is complacency, get a little lazy sometimes, stubborn, I don't want to let that affect the way I live, or that we see a truth in Scripture, but we can't accept it and we can't apply it to our lives. We're stubborn. And sometimes it's just plain disobedience. And what is the intended purpose of our light? It's to illuminate. It's to remove darkness. And it reveals the things around us, and it can light the dark corners of the earth or the dark corners of our minds and the minds of others to root out things that are not godly. And it talks about, you know, set on a candlestick, or as I talked before, should be placed in a where it can be used the best, in a prominent area of our lives where people can see Christ through us. And if we put that light in a proper place, it will be broadcast far and wide. People will see how we live, and people can see Christ in our lives. And verse 22, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. Excuse me. What is darkness? And I've got Genesis 1, verses 2 and 3 here. And it says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. God created light. The the natural state of the earth, it was without form and it was dark. There was darkness upon the face of the deep. And if there's no light introduced, there light can come from an artificial source, it can come from the sun, but all light was created by God. And without that creation of light, everything would be in darkness. Darkness is a natural state of things, as we, you know, state of our, the physical. Darkness is the natural state of the physical, and the introduction of a little bit of light will drive that darkness away, or will overcome the darkness. And darkness cannot overcome light. If there's light, darkness can do nothing about it. And that's a bit of an analogy between living a righteous life and living a sinful life. If we're living a righteous life and are looking at scriptures and trying to find what God wants for us and wants us to do, the darkness in our lives can be overcome. So darkness, and I wrote here, I got it kind of backwards, but it said created by the absence of light. Well, light was created to overcome darkness, and it cannot withstand the light. And as I said, power of the light pushes back darkness. It reveals that which was unseen. And the darkness in our lives creates a temporary hiding place. The things we do in secret, we hide in places of the dark places of our heart and of our lives. But ultimately, those things will be illuminated by Christ. And Revelation 20, verses 12 through 13 speaks to this. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. So that tells us that the things that we keep hidden in our lives will ultimately be illuminated by Christ. And then verses 23 and 24, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear, with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. You know, oftentimes we look at some of the parables, we look at the parables of the talents, and we think about, it seemed to us unfair that that the person who had the most and had done the best with the most, to him was given the talent of the unfaithful servant who hid his talents. You know, in this case, it was a sum of what we'd call money, but rather than let that money do some work, you know, using it and multiplying it, and he just buried it in the ground or hid it. That was given to the person who was faithful and multiplied, and was able to multiply those things. So with what measure, as we see in the verse, with what measure you meet, in proportion as you give yourself to hearing, you shall gain by hearing. Those who have no interest in the word or the things of Christ will find it uninteresting. And those who desire to find fault, they'll find faults, at least in their own minds. Those who seek solid truth will learn it from any faithful ministry. And those who hunger find food. Those who bring faith receive assurance. Those who come joyfully are made glad. And as we look at this, we need to be listening, we need to be paying attention, we need to be in His Word, and we can't let it go just in our ears or into our minds. It has to be go beyond the mere hearing. We have to apply it to our lives, take it to heart, and lock it away, keep it in our minds. And as we live our lives and certain instances come up in our lives, we will have these truths locked away, and we'll be able to use them in our own lives and also as we deal with others. And by applying it, we can put this knowledge to work. And allowing what is heard, what we've heard or what we've read or what has been spoken to us, the godly things that enter our lives through the hearing or the reading, we use it to guide the actions in our lives. And that's how we show our light, is by the actions that result from hearing and reading. And James 1, verses 23 through 25, illustrate this as well. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, that man shall be blessed in his deed. And here's a quote that I found: knowledge that is not applied will only inform you. Knowledge that is applied will transform you. So we need to have knowledge, but we also need to apply it in our lives. We need knowledge of the truth, knowledge of what the Word says, and we need to apply it to our actions, to the way we think, and the way we deal with others. And verse 25, for he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he hath. And that alludes to the parable of the talents again. And I have a quote here from a person by the name of R. Glover. I'm not sure who that is. I tried to find him. There was no description of the person. But anyway, having one language helps the learning of another. So if we have something, we can use that to acquire another language. So we have the understanding of a language will help us understand another. Having mathematics helps the understanding of science. And we've all heard the term, it takes money to make money. As the talents were given to these people, they were to use what they had been given to make more of what they had. And another saying is, nothing succeeds like success. One victory leads the way to another. The knowledge of one truth opens the mind for realization of another. The grace to do one good act opens the heart to acquire grace to do another. If a beginning is made, it makes successful completion possible. We can't complete something without beginning it. We have to start. If we don't start, we can't finish. If converted, do not discount the infinite importance of the beginning. You know, once we've been converted, once we've accepted, come to faith, or accepted Christ as our Savior, however you want to phrase it, we have to start somewhere, and that conversion is where we begin. And that beginning is so important, but we need to also run the race and as it said here in the phrase before, but if a beginning is made, it makes successful completion possible. You can't run the race unless we start it. But remember at the same time that none can keep grace except on the condition that he employs it. We have to use the grace we've been given. Whatever knowledge of truth, whatever feeling, whatever power of obedience you possess, you will lose it unless you use it or employ it. So some principles of using what we've been given, running the race. We should apply ourselves to the hearing and the doing. Faithful stewardship. And when we talk about stewardship, I'm not just talking about putting something in the offering. I'm talking about the faithful use of the resources we've been given, whether it goes in the offering or whether it's used to help another person at some point, but also to use the things that we've been giving in a manner that we don't want to waste our time or our resources. We're given things. Let's take care of them. And stewardship, I think, also includes our time. We are to give of ourselves of the things we have, but also the time that we're given. One of the most valuable thing we have is time. And none of us know how much each of us has, but it's important to use our time wisely. And we need to be consistently obedient to the word. And that's hard to do. I mean, there's so many things that in our lives that will pull us away from being obedient servants. And as we do these things, obey the word and be faithful stewards of our time and the things we have, we'll be given even more knowledge and strength to use our talents. I know when you're involved in a sport or something, you spend a lot of time practicing to hone those talents, to hone the things that you're taught by your coach. And the time spent doing that manifests itself in being successful in whatever sport or whatever endeavor you're participating in. And we need to be proven faithful. And the one who does not employ himself, he demonstrates poor stewardship. He doesn't take care of the things or the time he's given. He doesn't spend time foolishly. We can spend our money foolishly. And as we demonstrate poor stewardship, we'll lose the value of what has been given to us. And as the scripture tells us, reading verse 25 again, for he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he hath. If we hide our light and we don't use the things given us to keep that light going, we're not going to receive any more. We will receive no more, and what we have will be taken. The light is meant to be shared in a manner where all can see the truth of the word in our lives. Are we living in such a way that somebody might want to emulate us, or may want to ask us, what do you have? What makes you behave the way you do? What makes you treat others the way you do? And that's important. Witnessing by word, witnessing with our mouths is important, but if the way we live our lives doesn't show the light of the words that we say, that witness can be for naught. So is your light hidden? Is your light out there on the lampstand to shine for all to see? And are you using that which you have received, the things you have, the talents you have? Are you using everything that God has bestowed upon you for His glory? And are we sharing our light with others? And as I said before, it can be done through our actions. If we're doing it with our words, our actions had better match up with that. And I had another thought that came through and it left me, but apologize for that. Let's sing our chorus. I was going to do that about in the middle somewhere, and I forgot about it. I got to make notes of that stuff. So four verses is familiar to everybody here, I think. And Patty has agreed to get us going on it. And let's sing This Little Light of Mine. I put one too many lines in each verse there. I was going through it in my head when I was writing it. I wrote this song, yesterday. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I appreciate that we are, as a congregation, I just appreciate that we are letting our light shine and that we may continue to do so. And I just pray that we, as individuals and as a congregation, that those around us will see God through us, that the light will shine in our lives. And let's just pray for one another as we go through our lives to live our lives for Him, to use the talents we've been given us, to use the resources given us in ways that glorify Him. My Lord, I just thank You for this day. I thank You for the opportunities we have to meet together. And as I so often mention, that the importance of fellowship as a congregation is hard to measure, Lord. It is so important. And I just thank You for each one here. And I pray now that as we, as the members go into the quarterly meeting, that everything that is discussed and decisions made, if any, will be to Your honor and glory. And, oh, Lord, I just thank You again. In Your name, amen. Let's look at next week's memory verse. Proverbs 3:5. And I'm going to always use the King James because that's the most familiar. Let's all memorize the same thing. And I realize we probably all know this one already. But let's read Proverbs 3:5 together. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Thank you. Our closing hymn is Faith of Our Fathers, page 142.